Matthew 9:35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now that could be qualified or classified as a traveling ministry, which is not necessarily pastoral. Jesus wasn't staying in one place. But notice it goes on to say, when he saw the multitude, the multitudes. In other words, everywhere he went, these groups and large groups of people, multitudes of people coming. You could say to his crusades, if you want to say it that way, because these are traveling. He's a traveling ministry coming in briefly, holding meetings and going to another place. We call those crusades or conventions or church meetings or whatever. So as he was going about doing this, he saw the multitudes and he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And he said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, there's a huge harvest to reap in our day. And the work of God is great. I mean, the task at hand is great. We've got to get this message out. We've got to get the message of salvation to people all around the world. But he said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. What prompted him to pray or ask his disciples to pray concerning the harvest? It was what he saw in verse 36. The multitude that was scattered as sheep not having a shepherd. Now, the laborers here, I believe, he said, pray the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers. I believe that has to do with anybody, whether it be the fivefold ministry, which is more than just the pastor's office. There'd be the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. They would all be laborers, wouldn't they? Thank God. We thank God for all those. We believe they're all for today. They haven't passed away. None of them. The apostle hasn't. The prophet hasn't. None of it has passed away. That they would be laborers, though, but it would include helps ministers. It would include anybody doing anything for God. Anybody just sharing Jesus across the back fence of their house, you know. Whatever. They're waiting on people and sharing Jesus with their coworkers or whatever. Anybody that's working for God, God needs people to get busy. Remember, Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. I must be about my Father's business. So any of those would classify as laborers. Yet, I think you can see by what it says, specifically, he's talking about laborers in the local church to grow up the sheep. Because that's what moved him to compassion. Remember verse 36, he saw the multitudes. He's out there, you could say, acting as an evangelist, traveling as an apostle, a prophet, because Jesus stood in all fivefold ministry offices. He had the Spirit without measure. He was the apostle and prophet of our, you know, he's the apostle of our faith. He said the prophet's not without honor in his own country, except in his own country. He's the prophet. He stood in the office of an evangelist. He said, I came to seek and save that which is lost. That's the office of an evangelist. He's also the teacher, did more teaching than he did anything. He's also the shepherd or the pastor because he said, I am the good shepherd. Same Greek word translated shepherd, translated pastor. So what does a shepherd do, or a pastor? He stays with a local flock and just stays there ongoingly feeding that local flock. Amen. Tending to that flock. Yes. Amen. And so when he saw the multitudes, even though a lot were coming to him, people were receiving him, people were getting their healing and so forth, all the miracles and their needs met and so forth, he saw all that and yet he realized there's so much more they need than this. He saw their need for a pastor. Of course, he is their shepherd. But you remember 1 Peter, it says in chapter number 5. I don't know if you've ever read this, but he said, I'll just start in verse number 1. The elders which are among you, Peter's writing here. The elders that are among you, I exhort, who also am an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed, he's talking to these elders. That's actually the pastors, by the way. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not by filthy lucre, but or for filthy lucre, that means for wrong motives, for money, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, in other words, dictators, you might say, but being examples, we'd say, to the flock. Now notice, verse 4, when the chief shepherd shall appear. When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So when he says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, he's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the chief shepherd of the whole church. But notice, he still said, I'm writing this to you elders, talking about the pastors. And calling them under shepherds. Under Jesus' shepherding ministry. Now, that term some people don't like because there used to be an old shepherding movement that dictated to people's lives. I don't believe in that. But it is a valid ministry, pastoring the sheep, or pastoring or shepherding the flock, not in the error areas of it, but in the genuine ministry. There is a genuine under shepherd ministry, under Jesus' ministry of a pastor. Under the shepherd. Shepherd, the word shepherd and pastor translated out of the same Greek word in the New Testament. So what we see then is that God, Jesus, the head of the church, as the chief shepherd, sets under shepherds in the church to feed the flock of God. Remember in Acts 20, Paul said, feed the flock of God. Here it talks about feeding the flock of God. They're to give out the diet or the spiritual nourishment they need to be strong and overcome and be victorious in life. Amen. To develop their faith and develop their spirits in all the nourishment of God's word and all the truths of God's word. Amen. About how he loves them and how all the things they need to know. So, but that's the ministry of the pastor's ministry. And Jesus was moved because he saw these people in Matthew 9 that they come into the meetings, they're getting saved. Well, they couldn't get saved yet, but they were receiving him as the Messiah. And then when the Holy Spirit came, they were born again. But right on the other hand, they're getting their needs met and they're believing on him. But he still said there's so much more they need. I'm going from place to place. They need people to stay there with them. And to keep tending to their lives, nourishing them in their faith, and watching for their souls. Like the Bible talks about watching for their souls. That's the pastor's ministry. Amen. And so he was moved with compassion. He said, pray for laborers. I think the main thing he's talking about there is the pastoral ministry. Although no laborer should be left out of that prayer. I understand that. Amen. So as important as the local church is, which we were talking about in the first hour today, for your spiritual growth and success and so forth and so on, God doesn't really connect you to a place because that's where you're going to have fellowship with sheep. I am not diminishing that. We need that. How many of you know we need that, not the fellowship of a bunch of heathen people? Amen. I mean, fellowship with other believers has blessed me immeasurably. I would not be where I am today without the fellowship of other believers. You might not believe it, but I just enjoy fellowshipping with you. At least if you can talk some sense. I enjoy fellowshipping with you. Amen. I mean sense from the word. But anyway, no, there's something even higher than just having fellowship. And that is having a God-appointed, God-anointed servant of God to stand and feed us the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We need fellowship, but God sends us to where we have a pastor. So I'm going to magnify that office for the rest of this service. Paul said in Romans 11:13, I magnify my office. The Amplified said, I lay great stress on my ministry and magnify my office. I found out if I don't do it, nobody else will. People need to hear the word of God along this line as well, don't they? Amen. So, but Paul said that. He said, I magnify my office. He stressed the fact that Jesus had put him in people's lives in order and given him as a ministry gift for their own spiritual good. And he stressed that. That's what he means by I lay great stress on my ministry. In other words, he's not magnifying himself, his humanity. He's magnifying the gift, the office, the anointing, which when God anoints fivefold ministry offices, he doesn't have that man in mind or that woman in mind. When God anointed Brian, Brother Brian, Reverend Brian, he didn't think of, he wasn't, and I'm talking about the anointing on his life, not within him. There's the anointing within, then there's the anointing upon. But when that anointing came on him for service, he wasn't thinking of Brian, right. Brother Reverend Brian. He was thinking of those people that he wants him to reach. Amen. Now, the anointing within him guides him, comforts him, strengthens him, so forth. And he was thinking of Brother Brian whenever he put that in him. Right. Does that make any sense?
Yes, sir.
In other words, somebody's anointed to help us.
Yeah.
We have the greater one in us. We have the guide in us. We have the teacher in us. We have the comforter in us. He's in there. But why not just receive all the help God has? If he's in us, let's take advantage of that. And if he's on somebody else to help us, let's take advantage of that. In other words, like I've said 3 times already in these meetings, say extra, extra, read all about it. There's more for us in the Spirit than just the Holy Spirit in our lives. Raise your hand if you've been blessed by other people's fellowship with God. Whenever you fellowship with them, you get blessed. You hear from what God's telling them. Oh, that helps me. That blesses me. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, we need each other. And particularly, God sets these ministries in the office to help, in offices to help us. Amen. And so I've seen God send people to churches. I'm thinking of somebody right now. I'm thinking of an individual God sent to this church. Send them to our church, and I didn't know all this at the time, which I'm getting ready to tell you, I didn't know. But at the time, I just knew that, I knew in my heart, they belong here. I can tell God wants to, and there was a connection. I had unction to minister to them and so forth and so on. But I didn't know all at the time what the Lord told me later. The Lord told me later the reason I sent them there to your church was because they're going to need the healing anointing on your life. There's an attack coming on their physical body. I didn't know that at the beginning. I'm just telling you what the Lord said later. But anyway, before I knew that, they were here for a few months. I'm thinking of this individual for a few months, stayed here. And then they started saying, this person was of an age category that we didn't have any fellowship groups in the church at that time in this age category. And they said, I would really love some fellowship with people here. Well, I thought to myself, you know, ask somebody to go out to dinner, you know, or something. I mean, you know, if you want something, go after it. I think this is probably the most friendly church you've ran into for a long time. I mean, we'll call you family real quick. But you've got to be open to that. Amen. You got to receive that. Don't be in here all closed up. And then accuse us of not being friendly. Well, we might have said, hi, how you doing? What you doing? You know, how's the kids? We're getting to know you a little bit. And you, well, good, fine. You know, well, we're not going to push ourselves on you. Well, that's for somebody maybe sitting back in the back. I don't know where they're sitting. Back. Jump in. Hallelujah. this lady said, well, I just want some more fellowship. Maybe if you could start a fellowship group. I never have read in the Bible where the God says, I'll guide the pastor through the sheep. But what she didn't know was I had it in my heart to do that. We're just waiting for the right people to lead it. I'm not going to do everything around here. I'm not going to die young because, you know, okay, got to do this. I mean, God's got other people with anointings and help. So I said, well, you know, just I didn't say anything to hurt the time about anything I had in my heart. I just said, well, you know, find some people, you know, just do something on your own, you know, just encouraging her. And but anyway, she said, well, and after a short period of time, she decided, well, I got to go somewhere else because I need more fellowship. Amen. So she left the church. And that's when the Lord spoke to me and said to me, I sent her here because there's an attack coming on her physical body. And I had her come here to get the word in her. And she's going to need the healing anointing on your life. But he said, she didn't see that. And now she's disconnected with that anointing. And so she's going to have to go through that unless she turns around and repents. She's going to have to go through that without the help that I intended she have. Amen. Well, people in those kind of situations, they go through things and they wonder why it's tough. You understand what I'm talking about? And I hope, I pray not. I pray that this person's life doesn't get cut short because of that. I love people. I don't enjoy seeing anybody go through stuff without the help God intended for them to have. But right on the other hand, in those kind of situations, sometimes things don't turn out the way they're supposed to because of the choices they've made. And that cuts them off from supplies God intended to be in their lives. Say amen if you can.
Amen.
And so they broke that connection. They won't struggle because they didn't have enough fellowship. They'll struggle because they didn't get the message or the word that was they were being sent to get. And they disconnected from the anointing that God called us and anointed us with to minister to people. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? I want you to hear what the Spirit's saying to you this morning. Learn from these stories rather than from your own struggles. Wisdom is crying aloud in the streets. I mean, telling stories like that, you ought to make a mental note. Okay, I see how God works. I see how people fail to receive what God's wanting them to have, and I'm not going to make that mistake.
Amen.
I'll learn from other people's mistakes. I don't have to learn on my mistakes. Tell your neighbor, he went ahead and started preaching pretty good already. What she didn't know, which I never told her. Somebody said, you should have told her. No. I'm not going to manipulate people's decisions, try to get them to stay. They have to be led of the Spirit. They have to be led of the Spirit. So, within about 3 months after this person left, we started a fellowship group for their group, their age group. Not because I wasn't waiting for her to leave. I don't mean that. I was simply saying I was looking for the right person to lead it. Obviously, they weren't led of the Spirit. All they had to do is wait 3 months and they'd have had exactly what they wanted. But my point is that's not what they needed. That is a benefit of being in a local church, but that's not the main reason God sent that lady to this local church. Am I preaching all right? We have to get wisdom, get understanding, and I like learning from stories like that. Those kinds of stories really help me. Amen. But you see, they never really knew what the real reason was God sent them there, what their real need was. Some people aren't spiritual enough to know what their real need is. You got to tell them what their real need is. Children don't know what they really need. You got to tell them what they need. Isn't that right? They think they need fellowship, but what they really need is to get the word in them. Because there's a storm coming, you know. So we're magnifying this office. Somebody said, well, I don't know if that sounds like pride to me. Well, okay, let's take Jesus. He came to Nazareth and said in Luke 4, the Spirit of the Lord's on me. He's anointed me. And here's what you can get out of it. That's all Paul's doing. I magnify my office. Paul said, I magnify my office. That's not wrong to draw attention to the anointing and what the pastoral anointing will do. Amen. All right, so let's talk about it. 2 Corinthians 5:16 says, know no man after the flesh. When God calls and anoints someone for ministry office, he has someone else in mind. And it's our job to perceive who those people are that are anointed to help us. It's not the pastor's job to tell the sheep, this is where you belong. I mean, we might confirm that to try to encourage people, but you know, we just need to, all of us as sheep, we know our chief shepherd's voice. Yeah. Bible said so. And we ought to just hear it from him.
That's right.
Yeah. Somebody said, well, how do I know where I belong? Well, you know in your spirit.
Yes.
You know in your heart. And second of all, it's where you're getting fed. Because
yeah.
They're anointed there to feed you the word of God. And you're anointed to receive it. Well, you know, this quirk or that quirk in your personality, I don't receive very well from that. Okay, well, let's get over personalities. God will anoint you to receive through whatever quirks I have, just like he'll anoint me to help you regardless of your quirks. Every one of us have a little something a little wrong with us. He's not quite sanctified yet or not quite fully developed into the character of Christ yet. If I can look past them with you, you can look past them with me. Now, Matthew 10, Jesus said, and if you're there in Matthew 9, it's just over a page, verse 40 and 40 through 42. He said, he that receives you receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. So when he sends people out and we receive the ones that Jesus sends out, particularly those that are sent into our lives, then we're actually receiving him. Remember, he's the chief shepherd. So what he wants to do in your life as the shepherd of your soul, when we receive those he sends into our lives for that part of his ministry and that part of his care over our life, then we're receiving that chief shepherd into our lives. He's my Savior. I want him to be my shepherd too. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Woo! So there's a connection between my pastor, receiving my pastor who is just an under-shepherd under Jesus, and me not lacking anything. People think their trouble is finances, whenever really their trouble is they don't recognize their help. Amen. Now we're going to talk about how that help comes, and we'll get it clear in our thinking before we go today. All right? So, hallelujah. It's as these things are important. He that receives a ministry, let's go on to verse number 41. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall have or receive a prophet's reward. Now, Jesus mentioned the prophet, but we know from Ephesians 4, there's five different fivefold ministry offices. Aren't you glad there's not four fivefold ministry offices? Okay, so just... Okay, did you get it? Okay. Yeah, okay, ask your husband. Miss Leanne, ask your husband. All right, so, but he said, if it would be true with a prophet, it would be true with any of these fivefold ministry offices. If we receive that ministry, we get a reward out of receiving that ministry. All right, what is the reward or the blessing out of receiving the pastor's ministry? There's rewards in all of them, but let's focus in on the pastor this morning. Would you be interested in that? When I properly receive it and allow it to function in my life, what are the spiritual benefits? Psalm 8, verse number 4 said that what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? God not only lives on the inside of us, but he comes to visit us. He comes to visit us. When Jesus was walking the earth, he called himself a visitation to Jerusalem and Israel. I don't have that verse in front of me. I believe it's Luke 11. Maybe somebody can look it up. But he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I gather you together so many times by sending you prophets and servants to preach and teach to you together as a hen gathereth her chicks, but you would not. And then he said, now I'm come, and you are not receiving me. And he said, this city, or actually he said the temple, will be cast down. There will not be one stone upon another. It happened 70 years after he prophesied it. And he said, because they received not their visitation. He called himself a visitation. But there's more to that, to the meaning of visitation in the teachings of the Bible in the New Testament and the Old Testament than just Jesus whenever he was here in the flesh. A visitation is any God-filled, God-sent man into our lives, or woman. When I say man, I mean man or woman, into our lives in order to bless us, not just from the inside, because Jesus lives on the inside, but to bless us from the outside. I mean, he's so good, he wants us blessed in and out and up and down and sideways. And so when he sends these ministries, we have fellowship with him on the inside, but God visits us by sending God-filled men or women to bless our lives from the outside. You could say that people like Smith Wigglesworth was a visitation to his generation. People like Lester Sumrall, people like Charles Finney, people like Martin Luther, Brother Seymour, these ministries, I mean, they're too numerous to name. Those are visitations. Those are God sending a man filled with his power, filled with a truth to take to their generation and giving them utterance to preach it to the people. That's a visitation. It's interesting that the word translated there, visitation, literally is the Greek word translated throughout the New Testament, bishop. And it's also translated overseer, which the New Testament makes plain is the one who sees over the flock. So a pastor is a visitation to your life. Not the humanity part, but the anointing of the pastoral ministry. It's a visitation. I want a visitation from God. Somebody said, I want to have a visitation from God. Okay, God has assigned, he set it up. I'll visit with you Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and Wednesday nights at 7. He even told you what time he's going to show up. Amen. Now think about it. When the devil wants to hinder somebody's life, he'll send a person. Ask yourself the question, well, raise your hand because they're probably not here, all right? How many of you can identify somebody the enemy sent into your life at some point, whether it was way back there or yesterday afternoon? They were sent by the devil to get me off track. Maybe it was a bad boyfriend, a bad girlfriend. When the devil wants to visit your life, he sends somebody. Where'd he learn that? He doesn't have an original thought in his head. He's an imitator of God. Amen. When God wants to bless your life, he sends someone into your life. That person becomes a divine visitation. It's a shame not to show up whenever God's going to visit. Now, these are human relationships, but they are also something. Some human relationships have the touch of God on them. They're divine connections. There are plenty of people in my life that they're not a divine connection. You know, my banker down there, he's not a divine connection. I mean, the guy that changes my tires. You know what I'm talking about? But there are people, it's not just a human, right? It's a God-appointed divine connection for kingdom purposes. Those are to be valued above every other kind of relationship. Now, when it comes to human relationships, all human relationships are, whether they're divine or not, divinely appointed or not, are to be governed by the law of love. You understand what I'm talking about? In other words, especially, let's just take these divine ones now, especially when there's a divine connection given by God, that connection is in our life to give something into in our lives, to impart something in our life, because love gives. And since all relationships are governed by love, when God brings us together, for the purpose of it is to give. Amen. My assignment is to love you. That's my assignment. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, you too. I'm talking about you and you and you. To love you. And he said, here's how I want you to do it. I want you to feed my people. I have compassion on them. Whenever they don't understand the word of God and they're scattered abroad, the devil kicks them from pillar to post. I want you to help them. Help them. Help them from me. I'm not there right now. I'm seated at the right hand of the Father. I send you to help them. Send you to feed them the word of God. Tend to their life. Tend to their spiritual life. That's what the pastor's ministry is. His main ministry is a feeder. He's a feeder of the Word of God. You see it in Acts 20. You see it in 1 Peter 5. You see it in several places. He said, take the oversight and feed the flock of God. Feed the flock of God. Amen? Amen. So all other ministries, I'll be honest, are supplemental vitamins. This is your main feeder. The pastoral ministry, where God's put you as a sheep to be tended to and your life to be fed, the main feeder is there. Amen. Because of the advent of mass media today, most people don't think right about the pastoral ministry. I said that in the first session. I'll say it again. Because people can get spiritual nourishment online, which I thank God for. And we need everybody. But because they can get it on TV, Christian TV, I thank God for it. If they're preaching the truth. But here's the thing. God's plan never was that'd be your main feeding. His plan, because you can't gather together with everybody else watching that. We're going to see in a moment, Paul said, I want to see your face so that I can perfect what's lacking in your faith. There's some things Paul could write the letter of, he wrote it to what I just quoted, he wrote it to the Thessalonians. There's some things that he could feed their faith with through writing letters like he had the books of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. But apparently there were things that weren't kicking in until he was there. Because he said, I long to see you, see your face, to perfect what's lacking in your faith. One way the Holy Spirit moves is that whenever somebody that's called to help others sees their face, something starts stirring in them. We already read one. When Jesus saw the multitude, something started stirring in him. They need a pastor. They need a pastor. When did that happen? When he looked at them. The minister that's putting things on YouTube, don't think I'm criticizing them because we do too. Or Facebook or TV, Christian TV, I'm not criticizing them. We've been on Christian TV. He can't see your face. So there's a level of ministry that will never rise to the level that we could receive, that there's a level of ministry we could receive that will never rise to that level without somebody that's anointed to help us see in our face. Amen. That's one of the ways the Spirit of God moves, not the only way. Remember in the Old Testament, whenever when Samuel went down to Jesse's house, Jesse was David's father, and God said, one of his sons, I want you to anoint to be king. He went down there, and all the boys went before him, and God kept saying, he's not the one. He's not the one. And God never said anything to Samuel about who it was. He always told him who it wasn't. And he never told him that it wasn't them until they stood in front of him. When they stood in front of him, he picked it up. He's not the one. Why? Because that's one way the Holy Ghost works. When you stand in front of people. You ask any minister that flows in the Spirit. Sometimes that's the way it works. Now I got it. That's one way the Lord works. One way the Spirit works. We could show you other places in the New Testament how that works. That same way. Amen? And so being that the pastor's ministry sees people's face week in and week out, there's things he gets to see that others don't see. Amen. And he's their main feeder. Now let's talk about some of the benefits. That's one of the benefits of this having a pastor. And that is he can see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go over to that passage in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 3, verse number 10. The Matthew 9 scripture that we kind of started out with, he was moved with compassion because they were scattered as sheep not having a shepherd. And he tells us the reason they were scattered was because they didn't have a shepherd. That was the reason. You following me? Now, to understand that a little better, you're going over there to 1 Thessalonians. Don't go back where I'm not trying to pull you away from 1 Thessalonians. But he tells us the reason was because they didn't have a shepherd. The word scattered, they were faint. That means weak. Weak spiritually, really. And scattered because they didn't have a shepherd. Now, the word scattered in the Greek means chased by a predator. I've shared this only about 300 times so far. But see, we got new ones coming up. What I'm starting to become aware of is this next generation is now coming up, and I'm becoming their pastors because they choose me as their pastor. Because God's saying to them, you're their pastor. So we got to, they were 10 years old when we shared this last time. Now they're like, why am I here? What am I, what? So we're getting what some what this church has found. One of the truths this church is founded on is this message, and we're getting that into this next generation coming up. Praise the Lord. 17 years of pastoring allows you to start taking on the next generation, and they become, you become their pastor now. It was because mom and daddy go there. Now it's because something's in my heart for this place. So we're going over these things again. All right, so it means chased by a predator. You understand? And so what he's saying is Satan can devour people because they don't have a shepherd. You know what a shepherd does? He sits out on the hill. He takes the shepherd to the place where there's food, or I mean grass, you know, and he's taking them to where there's food. But then also he's watching for predators. He's watching the edge of the woods. David talked about doing that and killed the lion and the bear to protect the sheep. You remember? So the main anointing that operates in your pastor's life, whether that be me or somebody who else is your pastor, will be that your life won't be scattered. Devoured by the enemy. You know, when a flock of sheep's out on the side of the hill and whatever, a bobcat or a cougar or whatever runs in to get one of them, sheep, scatter. Right? And that's what he said. Jesus is saying that's what happened when people don't have a pastor. The devil chases them and scatters their kids, scatters their finances, scatters their health, scatters their brain. They become scattered brains. They become scattered. Everything's scattered. I don't want to be scattered. I want to gather up the blessings of God. Amen. So this works for you, not just in the ministry of any pastor, but for the one God has called you to. Amen. There are many good pastors. We've said that in the first hour. They're anointed too. But God doesn't call us to go to every church every Sunday. I mean, there's a place for us. There's our own company and our own pastor. Amen. And so who can he do this to? Who can he scatter? People that don't have a pastor. They say, we get people all the time, pray for us, pray for us. What do we want to pray for? Well, I got my kids, they're away from God. I'm just having such struggle financially. And this is this area and that area and this area and that area. And they every area of their life is a mess. Yeah. Yeah. And we try to tell them your answer is not prayer.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
If it was, all you're praying hasn't been working, so why is it not? There's something else that you're missing. But people don't see their answer. We've got to pray for people that their eyes be open, that they see their answer. It's not all this and that and that and that and the other that the devil's doing. It's that you don't have the strength to resist him because you're not strong in faith, because you're not sitting under the word, because you're not in church, because you don't have a pastor. Because that's not important to you, because you got things you want to do, because. But that's not socially acceptable. That's not culturally popular. So people think, well, I can be just as good a Christian as anybody. No, like we said in the first hour, you can't disobey God. And amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so how does the pastoral ministry keep people's lives and the blessings in people's lives, the blessings of God, from being scattered? Let's put some verses together and think about it. You're in 1 Thessalonians, right? Hold your finger there because we're coming right back. I'm getting there. Somebody said, I know where you're going. You know, that blesses me that you know where I'm going. That means you're getting it. 1 Peter 5. Hold your finger in 1 Thessalonians 3. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walks about whom seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for somebody to devour. Whom resist? Steadfast in the faith, or in your faith, some translations say, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, these things come against everybody. These things come against everybody. You're not somebody special because the devil's chasing you. He's just after anybody that belongs to God. So this verse says, Satan as a roaring lion comes to seek whom he may devour. Doesn't that sound a little bit like Matthew where it says scattered? That literally means chased by a predator. He's after people's lives. Okay. Now, according to 1 Peter, or let's go back to Matthew in our thoughts. In Matthew, Jesus says it's because they don't have a shepherd. According to 1 Peter, and this, by the way, is right after what he said, what we read earlier about the chief shepherd and them being under shepherds. According to Peter here, he said the reason Satan can devour people is because they don't have the faith in verse 9 to resist him. Well, wait, Pastor, is it because they don't have a pastor? Or is it because they don't have the faith to resist him? Yes. All right, 1 Thessalonians 3:10 puts it together. Night and day, praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Notice Paul said, we mentioned earlier, he had written these letters and that would feed their faith. All right. But Paul said, there's still more that I can't get across to you until I see your face. Because something kicks in when I see your face. Any minister that knows anything knows that it's different preaching to a congregation when you're face to face than it is writing books or preaching to a television camera or something. There's something different. It's just not the same. In here, there's things going on while you're preaching because you see things on people's faces. I don't mean that critically. Remember, he said here, see your face and perfect what's lacking in their faith. That's not a criticism. All of us have, you might say, deficiencies in our faith. None of us have fully arrived yet. Isn't that right? And so when Paul said he sees their face and there's things that kick in and I can perfect what's lacking in your faith even better than I can by just writing letters, he's saying that we need to be seen by somebody that's anointed to help us. Now, Satan can devour people who don't resist him in faith because they're weak in faith. Isn't that right? Who can he devour? That's who he can devour. But notice, God sent somebody to help us to be strong in faith. And somebody to help us to be perfected in our faith. Notice Paul said, was basically saying, the anointing that's on me and the message that I carry whenever I get there can perfect your faith. In other words, I'm anointed to help you and grow in faith, which will enable you to resist the devil. Can you see that? Because he said that Satan's coming to devour us, but we can be strong and resist him in faith. That's how we resist him, not with begging God to do something about it, but rising up in faith and taking authority over him and learning how to be a doer of the word that closes the doors to him. Where do we learn that? We learn that in church. Many, many Christian television broadcasts, they are assigned with one message. They're sent as a message with a message to the body of Christ, and they're assigned with one message. Many of them, not all of them. Some of them are pastors. But you need more than one message to close all the doors in your life. And a pastor is not just like a specialist. He's like a general practitioner. He's got to talk about raising kids. He's got to talk about walking in love and marriage. He's got to talk about all these things. Because all those things are how Satan gets in. And if you just sit and watch Christian TV, you're not going to get the whole story. Tell your neighbor now, he went ahead and started preaching now. That's the pastoral ministry is more of a direct visitation to you than these other ministries. They're sent to the whole body. The pastor's sent to one flock. Does that make sense? And so there's going to be things tailored by sitting in the church God assigns you to sit in. There's going to be things tailored to feed your life that you won't get anywhere else. Tailored by the Spirit. He'll get it. I mean, this series on fear we've done recently. I have had person after person after person, dozens actually, of people. That was right on time, just exactly what I needed. And I saw where I had the door open and I got that closed. See, that's a specific, tailored word in season by the Spirit because the Spirit of God started dealing with me. There's people that need this right now. Hallelujah.
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 So your pastor's anointed to see your face and see things others don't see. Isn't that right?
Amen.
The moment he does, the anointing comes on him and he begins to go a direction and perfect what's lacking in people's faith. The pastor's the parental role in the believer's life. Have you ever seen a child came up without any either parents or somebody to be a parental, to play that parental role? And they grow up, you know, with no mom and daddy, and so they kind of flounder in life. You know, they got to learn things the hard way, and maybe in and out of problems and juvenile detention centers or whatever, because no one spoke into their life. Amen? God speaks to us in our hearts. He speaks to all of His children in our hearts. But since children's lives are so much in the sense realm, spiritual children now, talking about spiritual babies, they live more in the sense realm. That's just the beginning of Christianity for all of us. We all start out carnal. We all start out in the flesh. So that's the way children are. Since that's how they start out, they miss a lot that God's saying in their hearts. So God sends somebody in the flesh, flesh and blood, human, in this realm to help. To say, hey, did you notice how the Lord dealt with you about that? He did? Oh, yeah, when I was talking, I was praying. See, by revelation, help them. Help them. Somebody that says it verbally in this realm, we get it more whenever we are babies and we're still learning to walk in the Spirit. Amen. That doesn't mean our heart's not right. It's just we're still babies. Don't get mad. I'm not saying everybody's a baby. I'm just saying that's where we all start out. Amen. So God connects us for the perfecting of our faith so that it closes all those doors to the devil. And listen, the pastor might leave the 99 and go after the one. The Bible said that's the heart of a pastor. So don't be ashamed to show your face here whenever you need something perfected. Just jump on in and go, hey, I come for my perfection. Hallelujah. When you're going through something, come and get what you need. Hallelujah. But don't be deceived. A lot of people think I need more faith. I'm thinking there's situations people call for prayer. They're up in the hospital. They look through the yellow pages. They see us or wherever now, Facebook or wherever they find it. And they see us and they call. I'm in the hospital. Would you come pray for me? Who's your pastor? Well, I don't really have a pastor. Okay, so we go up and sometimes we'll pray for them. But I'm thinking of this one individual. She had every book in the hospital up there, had every book from every well-known author in the body of Christ today laying around, had one there she's reading at the time, but her life was a mess. Her body was a mess. Her family was a mess. Everything was a mess. Obviously, something's missing. And we found out she didn't have a pastor. Well, got awfully quiet in this Holy Ghost church. 2 Kings 4:9 says that the woman, the great woman of Shunem, she perceived that a man of God that was sent to, with anointing to help her was coming by. Amen. It's our job to be spiritual enough to perceive the people God's anointed to help us. And then do the right thing with that perception. Amen. Don't look for the spectacular and miss the supernatural. Your visitation is going to, it won't look like any, it won't be like a glow or a halo around somebody. Amen. It's going to look a lot like a human being. Look a lot like a local church. It's going to look a lot like, you know, just people that love God. Greatness is not what the world calls greatness. Greatness is in people's spirits from God. And we need to recognize real greatness. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You find your pastor, you'll find your wealthy place. Hallelujah. Now, let's save some time here. We've got to wrap this up. Let's talk about another benefit. We're talking about benefits, you remember? Benefits of the pastoral anointing operating, being received correctly. We talked about that, keeping your life from being scattered. Another one, Acts 20:29. It says, he said, there's enemies going to come in, not sparing the flock. That I'll just read that to you. Go back there. Paul's getting ready to leave. He said, I know I'm not going to see you. And he called the pastors together and ministered to them, because pastors need ministry too. But he's telling the pastors, I'm not going to see you again, and I'm commending you to God and to His grace and so forth. And Acts 20:29, he said, let's go back up to verse number 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Notice that term, not sparing the flock. There is spiritual protection by having a pastor who watches out for grievous wolves. Now, if you study the scriptures, grievous wolves, a wolf has a lot to do with wrong doctrines. People pushing wrong doctrines. And listen, out there in the Christian world right now, You can learn any strange doctrine you want. There's a lot of them out there. Wrong doctrines and spiritual con artists. Amen. Right now in the body of Christ, a major ministry rose up and said, I don't remember the exact words they used, but I'm done. I listened to a couple of things to find out exactly the words that were used. I haven't got the exact words, but basically, I'm done being a con artist when it comes to offerings. And I said, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Because he said, I'm out of time and I'm starting in on this. But he said, basically, the group I was around, I fell into it. All this stuff of, okay, right now, there's a window of time. There's a portal of time within the next 7 minutes. If you give $70, come on, then there'll be these seven blessings that'll come into your life. Yep. That's a con artist. Yep.
Exactly.
Now, is it, am I saying sowing and getting a harvest is wrong? No, that's in the Bible. But promising you in the next 7 minutes, and you got to give $70 to get seven blessings, are the blessings for sale? And this minister got up and said, I've fallen into that, and I'm repenting to everybody. He said, I'm not going to do that anymore. And I said, thank you. Let's get some more people standing up. Because it's gotten off base. And so his son-in-law interviewed him and said, now, are you saying you don't believe in prosperity? He said, absolutely not. I'm not saying that. Prosperity's for us. Are you saying we don't give to the gospel? He said, absolutely not. We need to give to the gospel. But our motives need to be right, and we've got to stop conning people. You look at a lot of those people's lives, they're not getting that seven blessings in the next 7 days. And you're promising everybody the hundredfold. Not very seldom they get the hundredfold. Their faith isn't there. He said, it's just a bunch of con. I said, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. And he said, I'm not saying that prosperity is not true. I'm not saying that giving to the gospel is something we shouldn't do. He's simply saying the errors and the excesses, that's what I'm repenting for.
Amen.
And I'm calling for some more ministers to stand up and say it.
Amen.
We should tell people, yes, God will bless you for sowing. You'll reap whenever you sow. That's what the Bible says. But not promise them seven blessings in the next 7 days because you gave $70 and, you know. Oh, that's just manipulation to get them to do it right now while they're stirred up and emotionally worked up just to get money out of them. Well, go ahead and say I said it. And I'm calling for the rest of the ministers to stand up and repent. I'll tell you, enough of them repent, we'll have a revival. That's the truth about it. I've never said that, but that's been stuck right in my spirit ever since I heard him say that. Enough of these men repent, we'll have revival. We'll have revival. Because this grieves the Spirit of God. All right, so Acts 20, Verse 29 says there's protection in a local church having a pastor from these con artists and these wrong doctrines and all this stuff that's out there. Amen. Amen. Acts 20, verse 28, the verse right before it, we read it. Oversight to feed the sheep is one of the blessings. There'll be a place of feeding. Now, Ephesians 4, 12 through 14, I'm going quick because I'm out of time. But Ephesians 4, 12 through 14 talks about, he said in the church, these fivefold ministry offices, and then here's the reason, for the perfecting of the saints. That means the growing, maturing, developing of their spirits and their faith and so forth. For the growing up of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Not to tear down, but to build up. Yeah, tear down wrong doctrines, but not people. Amen. So Ephesians says that for the perfecting of the saints. Now, for years I had always seen perfecting to mean maturing, and that's exactly what it means. But I had missed another definition that the Greek helps give, and that is right ordering or bringing their life into order or arrangement according to God's divine order. Yeah. Ooh, do you got another 3 hours? I'm not going to take 3 more hours, but I will say that's a huge revelation right there. In other words, can I finish this one? The pastor's ministry, now that mentions all fivefold ministry. We need all fivefold ministry. But the main feeder is the pastor. We've already seen that. He said here, even in Acts 20, feed the flock. That's their main feeder. So whenever that word is fed to people's lives, it brings their life into order. They get their minds renewed. They start thinking right in line with the word. Now, how do I know that? Remember Genesis, it says, you can just write this down or just listen. Genesis 1, 1 through 2, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And notice, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the deep. You look that up, it means helter-skelter. Matter had not been reduced into its forms and into different pieces of creation like animals and fish and all these things. It hadn't been reduced to that yet. It's just matter, just substance. It's not in any creative order. And it said the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. So the anointing came on the planet. But it's still in disorder. What did God do to bring His world into order? God said, let there be. And it came. Let there be. That anointing that was there did it. And things came into order. We have different creative orders. We've got fish. We've got cows. We've got birds. We've got centipedes. We've got, you know, we've got all this creation, beautiful trees and bushes and flowers, and it all came into order. Hallelujah. That's how the fivefold ministry perfects or brings people's lives into order. By feeding them the word, because the word will do it every time. You receive the word, it'll do it every time. Hallelujah. But it also means perfecting that. I mean, it also means maturing. So we could put it together. As we get our minds renewed, as we grow up spiritually, our lives come into order.
Amen.
The body of Christ as a whole does not put enough emphasis on growing up spiritually. Now listen, there are ministries that are assigned to be an evangelist. They're not called to grow people up, per se, although this verse says they even have a part in that. You know, all these fivefold grow up the saints. But their main thrust is getting people saved. I understand that. But let's have all the evangelists, let's have all the prophets, let's have all the apostles say, now what you need is a local church. Let's have them all get on board with God's plan. Most mass media ministries do not emphasize the local church. They do not talk about it. They do not tell people to go to it. I said most, not all. There are some that do. But they don't tell people, give your tithes there. You need a place where you can fellowship with other believers, where you can join up and help the body of Christ do the work in your city, you know.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm going to get this CD and listen to it myself. I'm enjoying this. I'm not taking credit for the utterance today. This is helping me. But see, they don't emphasize that. Why? Because they don't have a revelation of it, probably. Sheep need a shepherd. Sheep need a pastor. Sheep need to be fed. Sheep need to be tended. And they can't do that on Christian TV or the internet or anything. Amen. Now, when something's not in order, like you walk up to an ATM machine and it has a sign on it, out of order. You're not getting out of that ATM machine what you came for. And when our lives are out of order, God's not going to get out of our lives what He wants it to produce. He wants us to produce fruit for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. People say, all I need is Jesus. Well, it's sad that Jesus didn't know that. He said, I'm asking you to pray that the laborers be sent forth. It's sad that Paul didn't know that. He said, there in Ephesians, he said, these fivefold ministry offices are given for the perfecting of the saints. All we need is Jesus for salvation. Yeah, nobody, no man can save you. But when it comes to your growing up, you need someone that's anointed to help you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You ever heard of the word dysfunctional? Everybody's talking about this person's dysfunctional, that person's dysfunctional. Well, you really could say, welcome to the human race. That's just the way we are. in sin. Fallen creations. That's the way we are. But see, the new birth is the beginning of bringing things into order. And then the Word of God renews our mind, brings our thinking into order. And it builds our faith, which brings other areas into order. And everything, our marriages and our children and our homes and our finances and everything starts coming into order. Amen. Working the way it's designed to work. Titus 1:5, he talks about, I sent Titus there to set things in order. Ministry offices, that's what they're anointed to do. Amen. Well, I ran out of time. Couldn't get to the rest of it, but we got a lot of it out. Did you get anything out of that today? Let me say three things to watch out for. Number one, knowing you're a man of God after the flesh. The main way you need to honor us is honor the message that's being preached. You don't need to get to know us and fellowship in the flesh and, oh, you like hunting, so can we hunt together? You know, that's not the connection God's making here. Does that make sense? So guard against knowing us after the flesh. We're just as human as you are. Amen. We're human with divine on us, you know, for other people's lives. But when in Jesus' hometown, knowing Him after the flesh, it shut the whole thing down. Isn't that right? And so that's one thing. Number two, know the enemy's strategies to get you disconnected from your spiritual supply. One of the big ones is offense. Very seldom do we go 3 to 6 months in this church where somebody's not attacked with that one right there. Amen. What about now, Pastor? Yep, about three of them. It comes in a yakety yak yak. Yak, know what that thing is trying to do. Know what that thing's trying to do. Know whenever you're being worked on by the enemy. It's a strategy of the enemy to get you disconnected. Offense is not a personality conflict. It is a strategy of the enemy. Amen? Lot got separated from Abraham. He lost out with God. Saul got separated from Samuel. Lost out with God. Judas got separated from Jesus, lost out with God. John Mark got separated from Paul, lost out with God for a while. Gehazi got separated from Elisha, got lost out with God. Amen. So we've got to learn to honor and value these, protect these relationships. Third one, and I'm closing. Watch out for this. Make sure you're properly honoring the place God has put your pastors in your life. Amen. Rightly perceive it. And then don't let offense separate you from it. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So that's my message. Like Dr. Dufresne used to say, and may my fruit remain.